Friday, January 2nd, 2026, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today on the program, we're in the book of Luke, chapter 7, looking at verses 36 through 50 with a message titled, An Examination of Those Forgiven.
Everyone in the room knew about this woman. Common interpretation is she was a prostitute. Christ had, along the way, clearly spoken to her of mercy and forgiveness, and she heard it. She believed it in an act of pure courage. She gets on her knees and starts wiping his feet with her tears.
And now here's today's message from Pastor Chris.
Luke chapter 7. As we come to the table, Luke chapter 7, found on page 1027, the well-known passage of the sinful woman forgiven. And we will read verses 36 through 50 of Luke 7. One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at table. And behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who's touching him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus, answering, said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he answered, say it, teacher. A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon answered, the one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt. And he said to him, you've judged rightly. Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet. But she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little, loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Then those who were at table with him began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. And there we'll end today the reading of God's word. Well, we have, beloved in the Lord, dear congregation of the Lord, we have the great privilege today to come and to eat and to drink with Christ, as our Belgic says, to receive the true proper body and blood of Christ. And what we have before us in this particular passage is probably one of the greatest examinations that I find in the scriptures as to what true forgiveness looks like in somebody's life, to have a certain knowledge and understanding of their forgiveness. This is really beautiful here before us this morning. It's meant to provide a showcase of what that looks like in the life of his children, their forgiveness of sins. And it's wonderful because it puts on display, a beautiful display, the regenerating grace of God. What does the regenerating grace of God produce in the heart of his children when he gives a new heart to somebody? This is beautifully captured here in this particular passage. This is the evidence that flows that demonstrates forgiveness. There's a demonstration of this today. Jesus says that. How could we miss it? He who is forgiven much loves much. It's beautiful. And it's important because two very different kinds of hearts and lives are put in contrast. This is what the scriptures do constantly. They're putting in contrast these things so that we can see clearly. And even in this, I would say, there is a gracious intention expressed here by our Lord for all to receive this. For all to receive this. To see what is showcased in this woman, especially as we come to the table, provides us clear evidence of a forgiven life. And think of the ending of this where he sends her out with shalom. Peace. True peace. Lasting peace. Well, we see this morning in this exhibit of faith by this woman. The explanation of indifference by the Pharisee, and the expose of forgiveness of sins that all are called to receive from Christ. So you notice that here, the explanation, the exhibit of faith, the explanation of indifference, and the expose of forgiveness. The context here is important. If you look back just previous to this, in verse 34, we have one of the chief criticisms of Jesus that was made all throughout his ministry. Something that deeply troubled Israel. And it was that he would come and eat and dine with tax collectors and sinners. You see that there in verse 34. And they criticized him for it. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking. And you say, look at him. A glutton and a drunkard, they called him. A friend of tax collectors and sinners. He was ripped for this all the time by the religious leaders. They hated that Christ would come into the homes of who they thought were the defiled in their eyes. That he would sit with these people, that he would dine with these people, that he would drink with these people, that he would have wine with these people, that he would eat bread with these people. And in their view, they were the worst people. They were the worst people. They did not keep the law of God in their eyes. They were categorized as the unclean from Leviticus. And the Messiah, the supposed Messiah, which if this man were a prophet, if he were genuine, if he were real, he would know this stuff. He would understand this. He wouldn't be with these kind of people. And so now comes this great scene for us. Maybe one of the most powerful in the Gospels of everything the Gospel's intending to say to us. Sometimes you get really beautiful passages that really give us a clear presentation of what the whole Gospel is about. And we have that here. We have that here. We have one of the Pharisees then, notice, asked him to eat in his house. That's an interesting inclusion right after the criticism that he's in the house of the tax collectors and the sinners. Now the Pharisee invites him into his house. This is the righteous house, right? This is the clean house. This is the well-to-do house. And so he is invited by the Pharisee to come into his house, and Jesus comes. And he takes place at the table. And I think you could kind of stand back at this point when you have this sort of contrast already drawn of this two eating scenes, if you will, that are captured. Who is the greatest sinner? Who really is the greatest sinner? It's a remarkable scene. I think first because Jesus' willingness to dine with the Pharisee. His willingness to give the gospel without partiality, even to the Pharisee. Mercy and grace and the announcement of gospel, we notice here, comes into the home, this announcement of a Pharisee. Now, we beat up on the Pharisees. But Jesus preached the gospel to the Pharisees, too. But it's in this context that a radical contrast is provided for us. The disposition of those who dined with him, that they criticized the sinners, here is radically different. Why did this Pharisee even invite him? Well, we're not really told. Clearly, the reasons were entirely different. The whole presentation of them was constantly to try to find some kind of fault with Jesus. Or maybe this Pharisee was really curious about Jesus, or they wanted to catch Jesus, or their curiosity so got the best of them with regard to Jesus that they just wanted to sit and spend time and see and understand a bit. I'm assuming they're watching closely. Everything he does is being scrutinized. So they would enter a home at these times, and they would not sit at tables like we sit at tables, like we did at Thanksgiving. They would have couches on these low tables, and the left arm they would rest on, and so their legs would be sort of spread out, and then they would eat with the right hand. It's a really powerful kind of image. In God's providence, notice what happens. A woman comes in. Reading verse 37, behold, a woman of the city. Notice how concisely Luke captures it here. Who was a sinner. Who was a sinner. When she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment. Who was a sinner. Now, I'm sure the crowds were outside the house. What's astonishing is she wouldn't have been invited in. I'm pretty sure along the way I attended a party once I wasn't invited to. I thought I was, and I went in, and afterward I said to Darcy, I don't know if we were invited. I probably shouldn't have had the steak. Unwanted guests. It's awkward. It's awkward. This woman knows she's not wanted. Awkward scene all the way through. This is far worse in that culture. All the men are sitting there. I want you to enter the scene with me for a minute. This is what we should do. This is what we're invited to do. I want you to feel it. I want you to sit there for a minute and sense what's happening and how this must have felt, what this must have been like. It's all there. She walks in, lots of commotion, lots of talking, lots of chatter. And what we read is that she walks up and stands right behind Jesus' feet. She just stands there alone. Can you imagine the awkward silence as everyone's talking? They look up. What is this? Everyone in the room knew about this woman. Common interpretation is she was a prostitute. We don't have really an indication of that. She's not the woman in Matthew 26 that's captured the Mary pouring out the alabaster flask too. This is a different woman. Everyone in the room knew her story, at least from among the Pharisees and Jesus. She's not a good woman, for sure. Luke just sweepingly says, she's a sinner. Everyone knew what that meant. As she sees him, she breaks into weeping. Can you image this? Tears start to flow down her face. In her shaky hands is the one thing she went to get from her house. She obviously, along the way, had listened to the teaching of Jesus. She had heard his teaching on sin. Jesus took that very seriously. She looked at her life, and she was deeply burdened by it. Christ had, along the way, clearly spoken to her of mercy and forgiveness. And she heard it. She believed it. So she goes home, and she had to get something. She goes to her house. She didn't have much. And she grabs the most valuable of all her possessions, which was this very expensive bottle of perfume. It's extremely valuable. These bottles had long necks, sort of a base, and to use it, you have to break the glass. So she sort of must have lifted her tresses and bows down, and no woman's supposed to do this. She's in a Pharisee's house. All she can see is him. In an act of pure courage, text says her tears are so flowing, they cover his feet. And then she lowers her head, takes down her hair. She gets on her knees and starts wiping his feet with her tears. And then she puts her lips to his feet in front of them all, bawling. She's kissing them. She takes everything she has of value in this life and she anoints those feet. All she can see is him. This was totally, socially inappropriate. This was totally, religiously inappropriate. She's not rich. She has nothing. She just came with everything she had. Luther called it heart water. Now, if you saw this today, if you saw that today, what would trouble you about it? Well, it's rude to interrupt a dinner like this. Seems kind of showy, doesn't it? We're pious. We don't do that kind of stuff. We don't show our faith, do we? No. No, we're very reserved people. What would bother us? Some kind of irritation might enter us. This is extravagant. It's uncomfortable. And what might bother us is this. People don't do this. Nothing would irritate a Pharisee more than to see this kind of response, because their own life is lived so contrary to this kind of response. You see? No tears, no value, no desire to humble oneself. This act of piety is completely foreign to them. There is nothing in this action to which the Pharisee can relate. Wasteful. What Judas would say later about the other woman who did it. I mean, this is the kind of going line. I've heard it in churches. Couldn't that be sold and given to the poor? Such piety is offensive. In her heart was, he's done everything for me. He is my greatest value. I don't care. And I think this is meant to challenge everyone who read it all throughout history. What? what did she see in herself? Now comes the contrast, the explanation of indifference. Now the Pharisee who invited him saw this and said, notice, not out loud. He's in his own heart. It's an inward response of disgust. If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who's touching him, for she is a sinner. He just allowed this disgusting woman to come in defiled and touch him. And the shock of all of it is, he's exactly right. He's exactly right. He did know. And he is the prophet. And that should have marveled the Pharisee. But it didn't. That she could come to him like this. She could come to him like this. There's a big point in this, isn't there? Jesus, of course, reading this man's heart. Simon, I'm reading the hearts of everyone in the room. You know, if a prostitute came off the street right now and wept at the front of the church, imagine this, dressed terribly, shabbily, roughly, and she starts bowing down up here and crying and puts every bit of her money in the pot, what would we respond with? Would it bother us? Simon, I've got something to say to you. Say it, teacher. A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. One denarii was a day's wage in the first century, remember. When both could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. That's a remarkable thing. We would at least make that person work it off, right? Pay it off with interest. He just canceled it. Who does that? Kind of person does that? Notice the question. He cancels the debt of both. Which one of them will love him more? Simon stands back. He says, well, I suppose the one for whom he canceled the larger debt. You're right, says Jesus. And Jesus turns to the woman and says to Simon, I want you to study her for a minute, and I want you to contrast your actions here. I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet. But she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, not even a greeting. But from the time I came in, she's not ceased to stop kissing my feet with her tears. You didn't anoint my head with oil. She's anointed my feet with ointment. My feet.
That's all the time we have for you today here on Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Be sure to tune in next time for part two of this message. Thanks again. Until next time, God bless.